Homophobia, Darling, by Martin Foreman. Read by Andrew Fettis. Homophobia, darling, is rampant in this office. You can smell it the moment you walk in the door, like a rugby player's used jockstrap. And believe you me, if I had to sniff any sportsman's sweaty drawers, a rugby player's would come right down the list, just above women's cricket. That'll give you an idea how bad the homophobia is. But I'm used to it, darling. As an out, proud gay man, I spent all my working life among breeders who can't deal with me the way I am. 3 years at Assholes Insurance, remember? Every single day I slaved my guts out there. I had to put up with Jolly Hockey Sticks, the woman who worked across the corridor. I say worked, but you could approve 3 claims and authorise a write-off in less time than it took her to change the coffee filter. She was the one who was always organising collections for someone's leaving present, or because one of the tarts in accounts was getting married. I used to reckon, for every time I put a quid in one of her bloody envelopes and worked extra to cover the time she was away from her desk, I ended up paying the company for the privilege of working there. You could rely on Miss Hockey Sticks to come up with at least one outright homophobic statement a day. Like the time she and a couple of cronies were going on about babies' nappies. Not the kind of thing you want to hear about when you're making yourself a herbal tea because you've had stomach cramps all day. "You'll never have to deal with that kind of problem, will you, Steve?" she said. I kept my mouth shut, but what does she know? Just because I'm gay doesn't mean I'm not going to have kids. Richard and I have talked about it often enough. With the money he makes, we could easily go out and bring back a couple from China. By the whole fucking orphanage, if we had a mind to it. The only thing that stops us is the hassle it would be finding babysitters. What with all the dinner parties and openings and shows we go to, we are lucky if we are home 2 nights a week. Even if we did find one, probably some Swedish bit who spent all evening on the phone to her boyfriend in Uppsala, we couldn't stay out late because we'd have to be back in time for her to catch the last tube home. And holidays are right out of the question if you've got a kid, unless you want to spend 2 weeks building sand castles in Mallorca. The Louvre is enough of a pain for 2 adults. I refuse to fight through crowds of Japanese tourists with a 6-year-old in tow. But Miss Hockey Sticks thinks that because I'm queer, I can't deal with children. That's pure prejudice, that is. I'd be a damn sight better parent than she ever would. She'd rely on maternal instincts, God save us. The kind of instincts that lets brats run around restaurants and bawl their heads off in airplanes. I can tell you, any kid I had would learn manners before it could learn to speak, and I wouldn't give in to any of that crying game. Children have got to learn who's boss. And even if I never have kids, what makes her think I'll never have to deal with nappies? What if Richard got AIDS and had diarrhea 10 times a day? I'd have no problems dealing with it, but I know she couldn't cope. One glance of his willy and she'd scream her head off. She wasn't the only homophobe at Assholes Insurance, darling. That place was full of them, especially the men. Well, they can't deal with it, can they? It makes their balls shrivel up. The thought of an out gay man who doesn't care that the world knows he likes to suck cock and take it up the snatch. It sets them thinking. Well, maybe it's something they want to do too. For a lot of them, it's better than going home to the bags they've married. They can't face that reality about themselves, so they turn it around by insulting pufters and telling anti-gay jokes. Not that any of them dared say anything in front of me. They knew they'd get the back of my tongue if they did, but it was there all the same. You know the kind of thing, sweetheart. Thursday evenings they'd all troop down to the well-fucked Virgin, a.k.a. the Fuchsia and Firkin, for a couple of hours of male bonding. Did they invite me? Did they, hell? Didn't want a faggot spoiling their evening, did they? Telling them the reason they were knocking back pints and trading football scores was because they were too scared to admit that what they really wanted to do was stick their hands down each other's drawers and play with whatever they found there. Didn't want to hear that, did they? Still, you'd think one of them would have asked me to tag along, once, just to be polite. I'd have behaved myself. I wouldn't have stirred any shit. But not a peep from any of them. Not once did the idea come up. Just one more example of breeder insensitivity. And not the only one, not by a long chalk. Remember Misdemeanor? Damien, the kid who worked at the desk opposite mine? The one with so many spots she looked like the Wembley pitch after a cup final? She was always trying to prove how tolerant she was, asking about Richard and where we'd been the night before and where we were going on holiday. It was none of her business. I didn't keep going on about her girlfriend. I don't even know if she had one. Then she kept hinting I should take her to a gay bar one night. Thank you, but no thanks. I had enough of that office 8 hours a day, without little Misdemeanor hanging on my coattails all evening. She didn't need me to get her vicarious thrills. She could have walked into any gay bar on her own, seen what it was all about, lived a bit. It wasn't my responsibility. Well, darling, if she thought she was a friend of Dorothy's, why didn't she just come out and say so? God knows I wouldn't have bitten her head off. That's what I'm there for. An example for all those closet cases to follow. There was a lot more to homophobia than Misdemeanor and the Thursday night booze-up. They've done studies of the subject, you know. Homophobia's like racism. There's more than one way to hate a queer. There's individual prejudice, the kind I've been telling you about. But the real problem is institutionalized prejudice, like they have in the army or the church. That's what gets you down. It permeated every level of arsehole's insurance. Typical of the things they did was bring your children to work day. Everyone was supposed to bring their darling offspring in and show them how much fun they were having working in insurance. Wow! This is Daddy's computer screen, and this is his paperclip sculpture, and there's the stain in the carpet where he keeps spilling coffee. All the things that children really need to know. Of course they were bored out of their tiny minds and started wandering off on their own. It was hell. 8-year-old monsters dripping snot, hands all sticky, stinking of farts and hamburgers, shouting and running up and down the corridor and giving me the worst migraine I'd had all year. Tell me, why should I have to put up with being insulted in that way? Because you're a gay man, you don't count. That's what management were saying. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't meant personally. Having kids around was just as insensitive to Misdemeanor and all the other closet cases, not to mention the breeders who didn't have kids. It was just rubbing it in. We're better than you because we've dropped a runt or two and you haven't. That kind of thing happens when you let homophobia run wild. Everyone suffers. And don't tell me it isn't homophobia, otherwise they'd have bring your lover to work day. When prejudice is institutionalized like that, it's not just one day a year. It's there every minute of every day. You can see it when you figure out they're not going to promote you unless you can prove you fit in. You're one of them. You've got the mortgage, the wife, the kids, and the ulcer. Doesn't matter if you can do the job twice as well as any of the others, so your desk is clear at 3 o'clock, while all the rest have still got claims backed up for the last 6 months. Doing a job isn't what counts in such a place. Conforming, that's what they want. They can't take an independent, free-thinking gay man. They don't know how to deal with him. He might have some original, sensible ideas about how to run the place. God knows how they'd react to that. Well, tough titty as far as they're concerned, that was my attitude. I'm going to remain true to myself. I'm going to do the job my way, and if they don't like it, they can stuff it up their slits. It's all they're good for. They don't use them for anything else. Darling, I left when they passed me over for promotion a third time. Enough was enough, and I'd taken more shit from them than any ordinary mortal could take. At 29, I deserved to be halfway up the corporate ladder, not stuck at the fundament. I was tired of seeing breeders with overblown egos, sawdust for brains and tiny pricks, getting an extra 500 a month just because they fitted the company image. Certainly wasn't because they could do the job. You only had to hear them on the phone to know their work was crap.
Can I check this figure, sir? Do you have an independent verification of that?
If you go over my letter of the 15th, covering their asses any which way they could. Too scared to shake the piss off their cocks without written permission. In the end, I just went to Princess Di, David, the department head with the fake blonde hair, and told her that if she didn't have her head halfway up her cunt, she'd know I deserved promotion because I was a damn sight better worker than anyone else in the department. Of course, she came up with all this rubbish about goals and how my work wasn't up to scratch. Well, I tried, but I wasn't going to spend all afternoon arguing with her when the people who really should have got it were the fat toads with their three-hour lunches in the executive dining room who don't give a fuck about the ordinary faggot sweating his guts out to make their money for them. In the end, I just told Princess Di that I had better things to do than lick her box to get ahead and walked out. It was their loss, darling. I got this job at Penis Policies in less than a fortnight. Nearer home and more money up my snatch. But the homophobia's just the same. I could tell it right from the start. Miss Nippleringe. I call him that because he's always scratching himself like he's just had a stud pinned through his tit. Miss Nippleringe was the one who interviewed me. She'd picked up on that bit in my CV about the articles I wrote for that gay magazine that folded. The one run by a bunch of radical queers who were too busy sucking each other's cocks and overdosing on E to get any work done. Anyway, Miss Nippleringe decides that if they're going to go for the gay market, selling big fat policies to rich dinkies in the Bow Quarter and Holland Park, they need a token faggot. Yours truly. So there she is, all smiles and biscuits and cups of tea, and I'm trying not to puke. The only thing worse than an out-and-out homophobe is some patronising breeder bending over backwards to prove how gay-friendly she is. She kept going on about how she was totally ignorant about the gay market and how I'd get all the support I needed from the rest of the team. Right, I kept saying to myself. I'll believe that when I see them head to toe in leather, their feet in a sling and someone's hand up their snatch. And I've been proved right. They're as prejudiced as they come. Half of them run for cover every time I need help to get something done. It's the same as ourselves insurance. I swear, no matter what they say about working with the gay market, they're just as prejudiced. They haven't a clue what's going to make two middle-aged opera queens switch their house or car policy to us, because they haven't a clue how we live, have they? Little things like application forms, changing spouse to domestic partner. They'd never think of that. It's beyond them. I tell you, homophobia is institutionalised all the way through this industry. If you don't believe me, look at life insurance. Get a single man over 30 applying and alarm bells ring right across the city. It doesn't matter how many times he's tested negative, or that he and his lover haven't looked at another cock in 10 years. Half the time they won't give him the policy, and the other half they'll only give it on condition they can bug his bedroom to make sure he doesn't so much as wank. But a married man, they'll throw him $100,000 in life insurance without a second thought. It doesn't matter that he sleeps with every pox-ridden female he stumbles across, and his T-cells haven't been sighted for a year. He's married, so he can't be a risk. I tell you, Penis Policies is as homophobic an institution as you'll ever come across. It might not seem so to you, darling, but then you're a breeder's fag. I know you're officially gay, but you're not really. You're just a straight man who likes to get fucked. They feel safe with that. You don't rock the boat. Far be it from me to criticise if you can get away with it, but I can't fake it. I'm an out gay man and proud of it. I'm not changing my sexuality or who I am for anyone, even if it means losing my job. Oh, yes, it does. And don't tell me it isn't because I'm gay. They'd never say so, would they? So they're coming up with all this crap about unauthorised days off. I keep telling them I'm sick, but they refuse to believe me. I've had this problem with my snatch for years. Diarrhea, wind, constipation, that kind of thing. And when it gets really bad, I have to take the day off. God knows I don't want to. I've got better things to do than watch Piers and Susanna. Now, there's a typical example of homophobia. Why can't they have queers as hosts, or, heaven forbid, dykes? What's wrong with a bit of camp on morning television? Let's have Alan Carr telling us scorpions who we'll find in our lunchbox, or Sir Ian McKellen boring us all to tears for the umpteenth time about gay liberation. No, she's a sweetie, but she does go on a bit, doesn't she? I don't see why we can't forget all the legal stuff. They can pass all the laws they want, but only when we get to see snatch-licking and boy-humping on daytime TV will I believe this country isn't homophobic. But that's by and by. The real problem is I'm ill. I've got some pills, but they don't do much good. I mean, they cut down the pain and the wind, but they don't perk you up. It's not so much that I can come in and do a full day's work. And when you've got the cramps as bad as I do, you need perking up. Irritable bowel syndrome, the doctors say, which means they haven't got a clue. My GP said it was just stress. If I relaxed a bit, it would go away. I told him the most stressful thing in my life was having to spend half an hour in his waiting room with bawling infants and 10-year-olds throwing Lego at each other. Needless to say, I insisted on a second opinion, but I had to wait 3 months for that. That's the National Health Service for you. All that money spent on maternity wards and mammograms and nothing left for gay men. So all the time I'm waiting to see the specialist, it's getting worse, and of course I have to take time off. And instead of being grateful that I come in at all, Miss Nibbleringe starts going on about sick leave and doctor's certificates and missing deadlines. She knows I can't get a certificate till the specialist confirms what's wrong with me. So what does she want me to do? Come in on a day when it's really bad? Would you, if you had to spend all morning waiting for your bowels to explode? You can't concentrate with any minute you might have to run for the Kazi. Richard's a darling. The first thing he does when he comes in is bring me cake and chamomile tea. But does anyone in this office sympathise? Of course not. It's all very well if the receptionist's kid's got a cold. She can take time off, take him to the doctor and the sweet shop. And while she's at it, why doesn't she pop into Primark and buy a new sweater, seeing as how there's a sale on? Miss Nibbleringe probably tells her to take the whole week off just to wipe the little bugger's nose. But for a single gay man who works harder than anyone else, with his whole digestive system tied in knots, there's no sympathy. Probably because if they thought about it, they'd realise what's giving me all this stress is that I've been working far too hard, and it's all Miss Nippleringe's fault. She couldn't run an orgy in a whorehouse, and I end up doing everyone else's work. I'm not going without a fight. I've spoken to the union. Not that they're any good. They've got a lesbian and gay section, but when it comes down to actually defending a member's rights, it's too much for their pet faggots to take on. All they're good for is sensitization seminars and crap like that. The rep had the nerve to tell me Penis Limited have got a case, and it's nothing to do with homophobia. Well, I soon put her right on that, darling. After all, it's my snatch, isn't it? Everyone knows gay men have more sensitive snatches because we use them more often. So I put in an appeal with the union for another representative, one who knows her job, and I'm taking my case up with head office. I'm going to fight them all the way, see if I don't. I'm not just doing this for me. I could get a job anywhere, but for every gay man in employment. If they can fire me on a trumped-up charge like this, none of us are safe. In the meantime, I've been coming back to work, despite the fact the atmosphere's so thick you could cut it with a knife. They're not going to get rid of me that easily. And what happens the first day I get back? Helen, Miss Nippleringe's secretary, asks me if I've been taking care of myself, because some men can't cope with being ill. Just because that's true of straight men, she thinks it's true of gay men too. She doesn't realise that gay men are tougher than straights. We're forced to look after ourselves from a very early age, because no one else will. Remarks like that are the kind of thing I have to put up with on a daily basis. And don't tell me it isn't homophobia, because it is, darling. I should know. I've been dealing with it all my life. That was Homophobia, Darling, by Martin Foreman. Read by Andrew Fettis.
Arbury. Drama and fiction. Hear more drama and fiction, old and new, on arburyproductions.co.uk.